Thank you. call the September 17th of the Audit Committee to order. Can I have approval of the meeting minutes from May 14th?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right. Melissa from O'Connor Davies. Floor is yours.
Great. Thank you so much. Apologies for me. So we went ahead and provided you a draft of the financial statements. And then you have a draft of the management letter. First thing I want to do is focus in on the PowerPoint presentation for the help. Okay, so today we're going to be going over some results of those funds. And then for information purposes, we have some bond related items. So part of the audit is the responsibility of management to those chartered governments. So first, you must elect and implement appropriate accounting policies, reviewing those regularly, make sure that they're still appropriate for the activities of the county. Share presentations of the financial statements, that's the big enough copy, making sure that those financial statements are prepared in accordance with the United States generally accepted accounting principles. Internal controls, really important at any organization. So you must establish internal controls and then periodically review to make sure that those internal controls are still operating and operating in effectiveness for the county. Not just make sure that there's proper checks and balances here, to make sure there's supervisory review. Next would be compliance with all laws and regulations, as well as any contracts that the county enters into. It's important to read through all the requirements and making sure that you're in compliance with those. Part of the audit is just responding to all of our inquiries. We do have a lot of requests that kind of go back and forth. So just providing all the financial records to us and any additional related information. I just really want to thank the commissioner's office as well as Amber for really coordinating everything and working hard to diligently to give us everything that we need. So thank you so much. And lastly, and probably the most important, I think, is setting a proper tone at the top. Making sure that the county operates in high core values is very important. So, on the next page is our responsibilities. So us as your auditors, we also have certain responsibilities as part of this external audit. We do have deliverables, which are the reports. So the first is the independent auditor's report. We do plan on issuing, you can see that it's in draft form, but we do plan on issuing an unmodified opinion. This is also sometimes referred to as a clean opinion. It is the best opinion that the county could receive. Secondly, would be your yellow book report. That's your report on controls and compliance. Lastly, or third would be the report on each major federal program. As part of this audit, we did look at your federal awards. That's the money received from the federal government. Even if it's passed through the state organization, we still look at those. So we did test 5 major programs. So we did provide an unmodified opinion on those as well. In addition, we have combined in one document required communications to those charged with governance, which is similar to what I'm talking to you about today, as well as the management letter, which houses any best practices and recommendations that we found during our audit. If there were any fraud or illegal acts noted, we would communicate that to you prior to today, and we're happy to report that there were none noted. We did not encounter any difficulties conducting this year's audit. There were no uncorrected misstatements, so all of the misstatements that we found were posted and made, and then no disagreements with management. So this provides just a high-level view of the general fund. We've isolated just the general fund, which is your main operating fund. The first column is your original budget. That's the budget that was adopted originally. Your final budget, which is your second column, that would include any budget modifications or budget amendments made during the year. Your actual are your actual results for 2023. And then the last column is just your variance between your actual numbers and your final budget. So you can see here, if you look up the top line, the revenues, you anticipated receiving $326 million in revenues. That did go up through various budget amendments during the year for $335 million. You actually came in the general fund at $353 million. So it's $17.8 million better than what you anticipated. If you look at the second line under expenditures, that's the money going out. So your original budget, you anticipated spending $333 million. It did go up through various budget amendments to $350 million, but you actually came in under, and your actual is at $316 million. So you do have a budgetary savings of $33.6 million. We will go into that in detail in the next couple of slides to show you where those savings are. So excess of revenues over expenditures, if you look at your actual column, you did have a net income before your other financing sources or uses of $37.2 million. Other financing sources include any leases that were issued, any subscriptions that were issued during the year, as well as any transfers in or transfers out between other funds. So that totaled to about $6.6 million. So then you have your net change in fund balance. So I want to focus on the original budget column. When you passed the budget, you anticipated utilizing $9 million in total to balance the budget of your fund balance. That makes up $5.5 million in what was included as an appropriated fund balance, so what you've designated as part of your budget, as well as any prior year encumbrances, your purchase orders that got rolled into the year. You did have many resolutions that passed during the year to increase that. So you can see it jumped from $9 million to $18 million. That's in your final budget column. Two of the largest ones that I wrote down were you had an increase of allocation of sales tax to the city of Kingston for about $1.6 million. And then you also increased the county share of the Medicaid in response to New York State, and that was about $770,000. And there were a couple others as well. So even though you anticipated using $18.19 million, the third row from the bottom, you actually added to fund balance instead. So you added about $30.5 million. So on a budgetary basis, you were actually $48.7 million better than what you anticipated. So that brought your fund balance. You started at $140 million. You ended at $171 million. Not all of that is going to be free to spend. We have a slide in here about reserves later, so we'll go from that. So how exactly did you get there? What we've done is we've identified and gone through the major revenues here. We can't capture everything that happens, but I did want to focus on the main pieces. Your first line is your real property tax, the taxes that are levied and collected by the county. There will always be some differences compared to your to what you've budgeted to anticipate to spend. That's mainly due to the timing of the collections and the deferred taxes. It's the way that modified accrual makes us record certain items. So you did have some differences in the collections. So you came in about $988,000 under what you anticipated. Those are not necessarily taxes that you won't collect. They'll just be recognized in the next period. The next line is your gain on sale of tax acquired for property. You anticipated receiving about $1.2 million. Only $200,000 came in compared to last year's of $3.8 million. So in 2023, there was no public auction that occurred. So those revenues did not come in. Your sales tax was about $3 million over what you budgeted, as well as an increase from last year. This is a trend that we've seen year over year increases from 22 to 23 at many counties. And that's just based on the economic. Use of money and property relates to the interest earnings. That's the next line. Interest rates were still remained at a higher level, as well as the monies were moved to a higher bearing interest account. So you can see that you did come in at about $5.2 million higher than what you anticipated, which is great. Your sale of real property, this was not budgeted. Generally, we don't see a lot budgeted here because it might just be a one-off. You did have a $5 million sale last year, which was related to Tech City East. This year, you have a $6.5 million, which was related to Tech City West, and those were one-off sales during the year. Your federal aid is hard to budget for. Your federal aid that could fluctuate during the year that ended up coming up $1 million higher. The next line is your opioid settlement. There was some revisions to the settlements that were made. So you actually were able to recognize a little bit more revenue this year than last year. You do have a payment schedule on that, so you could potentially budget for that in the future, but it is only for a short period of time. It's not gratuity. Then you have your leases and CBITAs issued. We did implement GASB 96 this year, which was related to CBITA. That's a subscription-based information technology arrangement. So any long-term subscriptions you have, we do have to recognize it as revenue, and then it becomes a long-term payable in the footnote on the government-wide statement. So that, you can see, we captured about $16.4 million of your total variance, your budgetary surplus that you have. So that covers a majority of how your revenues came in at $18 million higher.
If we go, can I stop you there for
absolutely
this subscriptions, the way I would normally think of a subscription, we would be paying somebody for it, but this is an income item for us. So what is being subscribed?
It's a hard way to do the modified accrual accounting. I think we had a similar question last year for the leases. When a bond, it's similar to a bond. When a bond is issued, you receive money for it, it becomes a revenue item that again gets taken out on the government wide. It gets put on as a payable. It's a weird way of doing an accounting aspect of it, but in the footnotes, you'll see it as a lease payable or a CBITA payable item. On the fund level, we have to have some sort of reconciliation for that.
And so subscription is a substitute word for a particular kind of lease?
Yes. Yes. It's instead of having an operating lease or a capital lease, you're leasing somebody's subscription software. So like Zoom, for example, you're utilizing Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. So we have to go through, luckily the county went through and did an analysis of all the subscriptions that the county has, and then has identified what is considered long-term, because we only really care about the long-term pieces. Good question.
I could stay with you.
Okay, great.
Well.
Great. Perfect. So we will move on to the expenditures.
Oh, did I stop you, or did you do other revenues?
So the other revenues are just a kind of a conglomerate of a lot of different revenue sources. We like to take just the time to go over the major revenues first. And we covered about $16.4 million of the total revenues over what you anticipated. So we thought that was a good coverage to get. So on to expenditures. Expenditures are a little more challenging to get a good coverage. You can see we've only covered about 62% of your actual revenues just on these individual line items. They are grouped together by function. So you do have the first five line items are related to your general government support. In total, between all of those, you have your public defender had a savings of $1.2 million. Most of that was related to salaries and benefits, about $942,000. There are other savings in there that had smaller variances. Your Department of Finance line item had a savings about $4.6 million. That's that variance with final budget. All of that was related to professional services contracts. So I believe some of it might have been for grant-related items, but it was all isolated on professional services. The DPW buildings and grounds, you did have a savings of $1.16 million. A lot of that was for various line items. It could be professional services, contracts, equipment, that kind of nice stuff. Your information services had a savings of $975,000. A portion of that was related to computer equipment that was just not purchased, or there's also a periodical expense of about $240,000 savings. We jump down to public safety communication system. The next four lines are all related to public safety. That's your sheriff, probation department, and your jail. If you look at all of those savings, they're about $1 million each. Most of your savings in these four line items, 2.1 is related to salaries and any related fringe and benefits that receives. So those would be vacancies that are not operating. $190,000 are related to professional services contracts, and about $1.2 million are related to savings on equipment that was budgeted, but then the equipment was not purchased. If we look at the health, so you look at public health, contracted mental health, and the narcotics addiction control services, those three items all relate to the health function of the county. In total, you can see about $2.5 million on public health and savings, $3.1 million on the savings on the contracted mental health, about $1.3 on the narcotics addiction control services. So for the health as a whole, for these items that I've selected, about $990,000 related to savings on salaries and the related benefits. $790,000 is about professional services, and about the large chunk of it is $4.4 million was all saved in contractual expenditures. The transportation had a savings of about $1.3 million. That's your Ulster County Area Transit. Most of that was related to professional and contractual savings. Those are those line items for contracts that just weren't issued. Were spent down, and then about $375,000 was related to salaries on the related fringe. The next two are related to your social services administration and your MMIS. Your social services admin are all of the salaries and benefits. So you did have $2.2 million savings in your salaries and benefits, as well as a $1 million in your professional services savings. Second to the last is your planning department. So of that $4 million that you underspent, there was $2.2 savings in professional services and $1.6 million in the contractual expenditures. So flip side, on the transfers out item, you actually spent $7.5 million. You budgeted for $3.8 million. This is due to the way that New York State Controller wants us to reflect the ARPA revenue. Originally, it was recorded as revenue within the capital fund because they were being spent on capital projects. But the New York State issued guidance that they have to be recognized as revenue in the general fund and then transferred out into to the capital projects fund. So we just grossed it up. So that resulted in those categories resulted in the $25 million of your total $30 million savings that you had in 2023. Other expenditures include various line items and various departments. So that covers the expenditures. I like to provide you a five-year general fund balance. It's helpful. You can always refer to this when you're looking at maybe different reserves that you want to set aside and plan for the future. So like I talked about, if you look third number from the bottom, your total fund balance, you ended in 2023 at $171 million. It is not all free and clear to spend. You do have different buckets that you have to, that you have set aside money. The first one at the very top, non-spendable. That's money that's technically already earmarked. It's spent already. The first item is your prepaid expenditures. So if you've prepaid insurance policies that kind of go into the next year, we'd have to set aside a portion of the fund balance for that. Your inventory relates solely to your inventory that you have on hand. And then your advances. These jumped from $4 million to $10 million. A lot of that was related to the real property sale of the Tech City West this year. So that's going to be paid over a longer period of time between USITA and the county. The next bucket is going to be restricted. So these would be legally restricted, or if the legislature passed a law or a resolution, that would be restricted here. So I just want to point out some large items. You did pass a resolution this year for the tax stabilization fund. So that increased from $5.9 million to $10 million. That resolution went through the legislature. You do have some various other restricted reserves. The next one I want to point out is your opioid settlement. It's towards maybe the middle to the bottom. That ended at $2.7 million, went increased from $1.2 million. All of that opioid settlement that we saw on the revenue side, that essentially falls to fund balance into this reserve. any monies that are spent on opioid-related expenditures would then come from this reserve specifically and would not be from your audit statement. The two new restricted reserves are your Capital Government Operations Center for $18 million and then your Capital Decarbonization for $18 million. So those resolutions also went through the legislature as well. So that brings your total restricted to about $51.59 million, up from $10 million. You also have assignments. Assignments are when the legislature decides to set aside money. It's not technically legally restricted, but it's restricted based on an assignment that the legislature does. So the first one is your encumbrances. Encumbrances are purchase orders that are issued but have not been liquidated as of the fiscal year end. So that budget will essentially roll into next year's budget, so 2024. You have two small assignments for the Sheriff Jail Commissions and the Tourism and Convention. And then you also have a new assignment called Planning Housing Action Plan, and that's for $15 million. And that resolution went through the legislature. Subsequent year's expenditures, that's the last line item in this category. That's $14.69 million. When you passed the 2024 budget, you should have seen this as a line item in your appropriated fund balance within the general fund specifically. If you're thinking of like a $17 million number, it's because you do have other funds that are going to be utilizing fund balance as well. So your total assignment is at $36.3 million, and then that brings you to your unassigned. So your unassigned did drop from $111 million down to $66 million. Even though your total fund balance did increase from 140 to 171 million. If you look down at the bottom as the percentage, generally a good gauge on how to track your fund balance is to compare it to your next year's budget. So what we have provided to you is a percentage of your unassigned, specifically just your unassigned fund balance, as a percentage of next year's budget. So you went from 29% to about 16.1%. Generally, the state says anywhere between 15% and 25% is a good gauge, but I really think it just depends on the county, as each municipality has different needs within the boundaries. So you really have to kind of gauge that for you. Okay. County does operate other governmental funds, which I've added here. So your beginning fund balance in each category, that's what you started off with last year. So capital projects fund, you do have a deficit. You do have a bond anticipation note outstanding. So that does cover a portion of that. It did drop to 23.7 as a fund deficit in the capital projects. You do have a prepaid related to your DASNY project. The county does pay in advance for their share of the DASNY activity. So we do have to pull that piece out. But your total fund balance is 23.7. Your debt service fund houses all of your debt service activities. So any future principal and interest payments you have on your bonds would go through here. So you did start with 2.7, you ended with 2.9, and that's fully restricted for a future debt service. Your non-major governmental funds, this is for smaller activity that happens during the year. So your special grants would be all of your grant activity. It did approximate the same. So you start at 282, you ended at 245,000, and those are assigned to grants. Your county road started at 3.8 million. You did have a good year in your county road, so you ended at about 5.3 million. And then your road machinery also had a little bit of a good year, started at 442 and ends at 918. I'd like to also provide to you your debt service, so all of the bonds that you do have outstanding. So your general obligation bonds, we have broken out for it two different ways. So your first, the top portion is related to the county's portion of the general obligation bonds that have been issued. So there's $90.4 million currently outstanding as of 12/31/23. You do issue debt on behalf of the college. So that is down in the next section, about $5.18 million. So that will be paid out over time. And then we have for you on the next page, there are some business type activities related to your tobacco settlement bonds, and then there's some capital appreciation bonds and your resource recovery agency. But this next slide is probably also really helpful for you. It shows you over the next 5 years individually what you have to pay down on these various bonds. So the first two columns are the county portion of the general obligation bonds. The next two columns after that are the college's piece. So those two are what you have anticipate spending on. Like in 2024, you'll have the almost $11 million in the county's piece.
More with the interest, right?
More with the interest, correct. Just the principal. Exactly. We do have the breakdown as well of your leases payable. That would be any operating leases or capital leases, and then your Civita payable. That's your subscription. So that's your total payable on the bottom left, your $1.5 million in your principal. Those are all of the subscriptions that you would anticipate paying over time. That's all I have on the number aspects. Does anybody have any questions before I jump onto the management letter comments?
This maturity schedule that you pulled out does it usually show up in any place on a budget where we would see it, or do we have to remember that we have this and kind of add it back in when we're looking at like prior pages dealing with fund balance? And why doesn't it show up on a fund balance type of page so that we know really what's available? Because this is committed and restricted money, I take it, in ways that some of the monies that show up on the other pages are.
So for the financial statements, we do have a disclosure in here that lists this out completely. So this just comes from an excerpt of the footnotes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's included explicitly in your budget. I'm not sure, you know.
Well, we do budget for what has to be paid in that year, yes, but not multiple years.
You do see a debt service schedule within the budget. I don't think it's presented quite like this, but we could certainly look at how it is presented.
So it's usually be year by year, one year at a annual debt service rather than this comparative of over time.
Actually, you were saying that there is in the budget
mm-hmm.
more than just 1 year.
I don't know if it's more than one. I believe it's a 1 year debt service.
Yes, I know there's at least one.
The capital plan will also have your capital plan for the out years, which will show you your multi-year capital budget. But it's not showing what you have bonded yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to keep note of this because you'll want a budget
mm-hmm.
before it as going forward. So I will move to our management letter. So in this document, the first page was just our letter, our cover letter. We do have a table of contents and then the status of the audit we've covered. These charts here are just related to the required communications. It's similar to what I communicated at the start of the audit, that there, our opinion is unmodified. It talks about any estimates that we've looked at, financial disclosures, if there's a going concern, which there is not. So it's all just the certain required communications. This letter here on page 12 is going to be our report on internal control over financial reporting. So we are happy to note that there were no deficiencies that we report as material weaknesses. I think if you remember from last year, we did have a material weakness last year. So on page 13 starts the management letter comments. The first one at the top is the reconciliation of reimbursable expenditures. This was a prior comment, and this was the material weakness last year. So we are required to follow up on all comments that we issue every single year. So we make sure that they're continuing to rectify the situation if it has not already been rectified. So the reason why this is still in the, I guess to give some background first, the Department of Social Services houses and operates a lot of the grants, the state and federal grants that are that go through these programs. And last year when we came in, we noticed that there was no reconciliation being done on the receivables and the drawdowns that were being done to what has been received. Generally, the state will come and provide certain write-offs on maybe unallowable expenses or things that they'll kind of write down. There was not a reconciliation between the two. So we wanted to make sure that that was being done, and especially because it was such a large number. So we are happy to report that for the larger programs, they did do that reconciliation for 2023. There are some smaller programs that they did not have time to focus on for the 2023 audit. So they are currently actively working on them for the 2024 audit. So we would expect this to be completely resolved and removed for next year's audit. When I did speak with them, I told them that I would like 100% of the programs to be reconciled, that they should be doing them regularly. So it is a little bit tricky. It becomes like a convoluted system, the way that the state reconciles and provides these different adjustments. But I told them it's important for them to go through this process.
Has a list been provided to Amber? Can we get a list of what the smaller funds are?
Sure, I can definitely. I can provide that to Amber. Okay. Okay, perfect. The next item is related to the internal service funds. This is a prior comment. I would anticipate that this would probably remain prior comment for a couple of years. Internal service funds are supposed to be self-sufficient. They're supposed to fund the premiums and the claims that go through for insurance claims. You do have a self-insurance fund and then a workers' comp-related fund. We currently, there are some typos. This is a draft form, thank goodness. But the self-insurance fund ended with a $6.9 million fund balance. And then your workers' comp, that three should be a five. So it's $5.5 million for the workers' comp. And generally, because your claims are fully accrued in that fund itself, you would expect for the fund balance to be close to zero unless you anticipated something above and beyond what your actuary has stated as what you think your incurred but not reported claims would be. So we would expect these to go down over time. The tough thing with internal service funds is you don't want to cut the premiums right away, because what happens if you get a huge claim in the next year or the year after, you don't have that fund balance to help pay for that because it was really unexpected. So while I do anticipate this being a comment, I would like to see some analysis being done over the next couple of years to say, you know, what are the trends that we've seen over the past few years? What is the actuary thinks going to happen in the future? And then maybe cutting down premiums and the transfers that are being funded slowly and not all at once.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on page 96 of the financial statements that there is no interest income for the self-insurance fund. And, you know, given $8 million, it seems like there should be at least $400,000 or so there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there also, we went back and looked at 22 and there also was none for 22. So, you know,
that is on our radar. We noticed that. We were talking about that, like, I think within the last month, that it needs to be,
yeah,
sorted out.
Especially if we're going to look at premiums in light of what's
different. Yes. Was it the Riffles comp that should get some bank rates comp? Yes. And get their own interest. Things are good. Which both should be getting. So you need to be fully funded on them.
So I would definitely look at your interest allocation as a whole for all of your cash balances and make sure they're paying.
Yeah. But
it's hard because your self-insurance was the fund. I believe it was created last year. I don't think it had been broken out yet. So once you have it in the separate fund in your system, I think it'll be a little bit easier to identify. On the next page, on the top of the next page, page 14, we did identify some reconciliation of receivable balances that needed to happen. What we do as part of our testing is we look at the material balances, we get the subledger for them, so it breaks it out by customer, by agency who owes the county, and then make sure that those two tie. The reason why this, we noticed that this was not tying to the actual amounts in the trial balance. The reason why this is a control deficiency and not a significant deficiency is because the variances between the two were quite small. But it still is important that these reconciliations are being done and that they tie tie to the penny. I think there were three accounts. One was 85,000 variance, one was a 90,000 variance, and one was about 240,000. So I just want to make sure that we're reconciling those. The next management letter comment is related to due to, due froms. This was a focus of New York State. I think it's been a focus of theirs for the past couple of years, just making sure that these are short-term. If you do have a long-term inter-fund borrowing, sometimes when you're moving money, you just don't make the physical transaction to move them in the bank, but you've recorded that transaction in the fund itself. So that physical movement of money just needs to happen. Generally, the due to, due froms are classified as a short term, so less than 1 year. Once they kind of trigger beyond the 1 year, it should be reported as an advance. We do know that it's just a timing issue, so just making sure that you're on top of it and making those transfers.
We are doing the receivable due to, due froms. That's something that Chris staff is working on right now. So
great. We also reviewed the bank reconciliations for appropriateness of your reconciling items, as well as your outstanding checks. We did notice that as of December 31st, 2023, there were about 74 outstanding checks older than 1 year. It totaled to approximately 37,000, and that was both in your payroll and disbursement accounts. I do want to note that after year end, the county did make efforts in resolving these old outstanding reconciling items. Not sure how many is left. Maybe we could.
All the letters went out. I think it's still early.
Okay.
With where we're going to be at.
Okay, great. So just making sure you're making efforts at regularly. The next item on top of 15 is related to old receivable balances. Generally, we like to see everything pretty current. If there's anything old, the commissioner's office should follow up. So we did notice that there were 35 receivable items older than 1 year, some of them dating back to 2020, a lot of them pretty small, but so they approximated 185,000. And this was all within the state and federal aid receivable account. So just continuing to follow up on those. Eventually, you might have to determine collectability on those.
Yeah. We did reach out to them September of 23, but yeah, it has to be done quarterly. So
okay. The next item is related to the taxes receivable reconciliation. So the county did implement a new tax software, I think it was last year, I believe. So when we requested the subledger by taxpayer, we like to see that it ties to the trial balance in the new software. So there was some issues with it not reconciling. So the commissioner's office had to put in a lot of time and effort in order to get it to reconcile, showing that there were some, I think it's installment purchase agreements that were causing a lot of the differences. But it should be something that you should just be able to print out a report and reconcile to. Not only does that help, you know, mitigate the time spent, but it also helps identify if there's anything old outstanding, and you should be able to just run the report and look at it more frequent on a frequent basis. The last item on here are related. This is related to the single audit testing. So like I said, we did test 5 programs this year. So as part of the adoption assistance program that we tested, we did select a total of 25 case files for the children who were adopted. New York State does require this check eligibility checklist. It's form LDSS 3912. And this is a required checklist to have in the case files. We did notice that 6 of the 25 that we tested did not have this eligibility checklist. We did not consider it to be a single audit finding because although the checklist was not present, all of the required forms and supporting documents to determine that that child was eligible was within the case files. But it's important to have that checklist, especially if it's required by New York State. That's all the comments we have in this letter. We are still wrapping up a couple, I think just one of the single audit test work. So if there is anything that does come up before, we will notify the committee as well. You know. So the rest of this document on the horizon, these are just GASB statements that are coming forward. So you have your compensated absences that will be implemented in 2024. GASB 102 is any risk-related disclosures that need to be added. That will be in 2025. And then the newest one is 103, will be implemented in your 2026 financial statements. And that kind of covers a lot of different items within the financial statements itself. So as those come through and come to fruition, we can always reach out and help out in any way possible. Appendix 1 is the corrected misstatements. We do include the material entries that we've posted as part. This is not inclusive list of everything. And it does not include any entries posted by the county. It's really just from the audit procedures that we've identified. So some of these also relate to some of the items we've talked about, like the ARPA transfer, some grossing those up, opioid settlement with the renegotiation that we talked about. Appendix 2 is the management rec letter. Once we have completed all of our audit procedures, part of the audit, external audit, is to get assigned manager rep letter. We do anticipate issuing by the deadline September 30th, and then as well as uploading the data collection form to the Federal Audit Clearinghouse. That's currently been prepared already, and it's been reviewed internally, so I don't see any issues with filing by the deadline. So that concludes my presentation. If anybody has any questions or anything, you can definitely go.
We benchmark budget versus actual to other counties that are, or other municipalities.
I think, you know, for the counties, they did end up having a large surplus this year as well. And I think it was about trying to find out the best use of the reserves. What type of reserves should be set up to help utilize that the budgetary surplus. But it is similar to the other counties that we've seen. Especially we do like Westchester and Orange and Putnam as well. So it is in line.
Thank you. Anybody have any old business, new business? I know we don't, how do we normally need like every, whenever needed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we can do a quicker meeting in February. To find out where we are with the recommendations and see where we are in terms of addressing them. So we put it on the, you know, radar now to set that up. February sounds about right. All right. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Okay.